Good morning, everyone. Last week, I had a phone call for the first time in a while from Pastor Akira Sato of the Fukushima First Bible Baptist Church. You probably remember that 9 years ago, when the Great East Japan earthquake and tsunami hit the northeastern coast of Japan, the 60 members of the Fukushima First Bible Baptist Church evacuated to the Okutama Gospel House and stayed there for 1 year. Fukushima Prefecture had its state of emergency for the coronavirus lifted 3 days ago, and the church is planning to begin services in their sanctuary again from Pentecost on the 31st. When the church had to live away from home for 1 year in 2011, it was very hard for them, but they were able to live as one church family, and they were able to have worship services together. But this time, during the state of emergency and the need to stay at home, they had to go many weeks without being able to see each other or to gather as one body for worship. I think many of you have read Pastor Sato's book, which could be translated into English, A Fair Wind is Fine and Adversity is Also Fine. This book was written by Mr. Sato after the great natural disaster hit. The church that overcame a very difficult situation and living away from home 9 years ago trusted the Lord again during this period of adversity when the church couldn't gather together. They were able to give thanks for the Lord providing for their needs and for leading them. Now, as we imagine their joy in preparing for the start of worship services together from the 31st, we are encouraged to see how our brothers and sisters have made it through this difficult time. This morning, our passage of 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 22, comes from a letter written to the believers of the early church that were spread out over Western Asia Minor due to persecution for their faith in Christ. Let's look together this morning to see how Peter encourages the believers and how we should prepare for suffering and persecution in our lives. Shall we pray before we turn to our scripture? Merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name this morning. We thank you that though we cannot meet in one room, we can meet in our hearts as together as we worship you now in this way. We thank you that it doesn't matter where we meet, that we can worship you, our Lord and Savior. We ask that you would speak to us now through your scripture, because you know our hearts the most. You know what we need to hear. And so prepare our hearts and speak to us through the Holy Spirit that we might hear your words speaking to us, whether it be words of comfort, words of healing, words to strengthen us, words to guide us, or words that lead to salvation. May each one hear the words that they need to hear this morning, we ask. May the Holy Spirit be given freedom to work in our hearts and minds. Continue to use that Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ, we ask. And help me as your messenger to be faithful to the message that you want brought this morning, I ask. Give me your wisdom and guide me as I speak. We give you this time now. We ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, if you will turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 13 to 22. First, we'll look at verse 13, and our point is to be eager to do good. Reading verse 13 once more. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? It is easier to do good things when the wind is blowing in your favor and you have smooth sailing in your life. But the first readers of Peter's letter were being treated unfairly and were facing persecution just for their faith in Christ, even though they had not done anything wrong. That is why Peter encourages the believers who were working for their masters as servants in verses 18 and 19 that gives us the context of today's passage, that follows. Reading from verse 18, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." Then in chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, we have this written to all followers of Christ. "Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." Even in times of hardships, even in times of trials, and even in times of adversity, we are to earnestly do good deeds, no matter who the other person may be. This is Peter's encouragement for us. Now looking at verses 14 to 17, and the fact that we need to be prepared for persecution or suffering. Well, how then should the Christian face adversity that comes their way? Reading verses 14 to 17. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." How should the Christian act when facing hardship and adversity? A key point is that we must be ready to suffer for righteousness, as is mentioned in verse 14. The believers of the early church had been scattered over various lands and were now suffering hardships and persecution. Peter faithfully passes on to them the teachings of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. We read in Matthew 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Christian need not fear those who persecute them, for ultimately our reward is the kingdom of heaven. Paul also teaches us the following in Romans 8, verse 31. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" The correct attitude for followers of Christ to have, no matter how difficult the situation or trial, is an attitude that at all times praises Jesus as the Lord of our lives. No matter how uncertain things may seem, God is always in control. We are to trust in this, declare Jesus as the Lord of our lives, praise Him, and reconfirm our relationship with Holy God. Peter tells the believers reading his letter to be ready to bear witness to the hope in their hearts that Christians have through Christ. Reading about this hope in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Christ died on the cross to be atonement for our sin. He rose again from the dead on the third day, gaining victory over death. Now he is here, living within us. He is our living hope. Are we ready to share this living hope with our family and friends in a way that is easy for them to understand? Verse 16 tells us to be meek and have a clear conscience so that we will be ready with the right attitude to witness regarding the hope that we have in Christ. Having such a meek attitude towards those who treat us unfairly or attack us is not an easy thing to do. But Peter encourages us to follow Christ's example shown through his cross, to be able to bear witness to the hope that we have. Now looking at verses 18 to 22 and at the relationship between Christ and us. What is the most important main message that we should give when we explain the living hope that we have in Christ? Reading 1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Explaining the relationship between Christ, our living hope, and us should be the main message that we share. When we recite the Apostles' Creed, we declare our faith in Jesus, our living hope. This morning we recited the phrases, "He was crucified, died, and was buried," and "He descended to the dead." In verses 19 and 20, we read that before Christ was resurrected, his spirit descended to the dead where the spirits of the disobedient from the time of Noah were. We are not told what proclamation Christ made to those he spoke to. For this reason, biblical commentaries are divided on their interpretations of this event. At the time of Noah, only the eight in Noah's family were saved, while all others perished as punishment for their disobedience towards God. Some commentaries even suggest that Christ went to speak to these lost souls to give them a second chance, but it is not clear what he said to these people. But we can say that, through our reciting of the Apostles' Creed as we declare our faith in Christ, we realize that Christ's Spirit has existed and will always exist in time and space, in the past, present, and future, in ways that surpass our ability to grasp or imagine. And we believe in Almighty God's authority and power that also surpass time and space. Peter uses Noah's flood as a representation of baptism. He stresses that our baptism, is an outward sign of what has taken place in our lives when we believed and accepted Christ as our Savior. Through baptism, our personal relationship with Jesus Christ begins. Peter teaches us in verse 21 that through baptism, we have been reborn as Christ's disciples and children of God, being given a clear conscience toward God through Christ. When we witness and tell others about the hope of salvation, it is important to state clearly that we are all sinners, that Christ died as the atonement for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven, that a way was made for us to have a relationship with Holy God, that Christ won victory over death through his rising from the dead, and that the Lord lives within each believer today as they walk with him in faith. I'd like to summarize in closing now. I noticed that what I talked about with Pastor Sato of the Fukushima First Bible Baptist Church was related with our message this morning. I saw that even in the midst of their living away from home due to the Great East Japan earthquake, and even during this time of having to stay home because of the coronavirus state of emergency, Pastor Sato and his congregation accepted as good, without fear, whatever came their way as they trusted in the Lord, even while enduring hardship and adversity. And the key to this attitude is that Jesus is at the center of their lives. He is their Lord, and they worship him and praise him for his holiness. And through studying the word together, the members of the church prepare themselves to tell others about the living hope within them, the Lord Jesus Christ, and their personal relationship with him. Presently, the church uses their online worship services to reach not only those back in Fukushima, but those who remain spread out over the nation since the 2011 earthquake. When we look in Scripture at the believers spread out over Western Asian Minor due to persecution for their faith, and when we look at what the church in Fukushima has gone through, we can clearly see those who are truly happy and have peace because they have the living hope, Jesus Christ, as their Lord, and because they can rejoice in the personal relationship they have with Holy God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this morning's message from your word. And Lord, through your grace, you protect our lives, and we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us not to forget to thank you and praise you for being our Lord, protector, and provider, especially when we become complacent during good times. Father, help us not to forget all the good things that you have done for us. And Lord, when times of hardship, trials, and adversity come, we know that you are always with us and that you are living within us. We thank you that you, Almighty God, are not limited by space or time, and that you are with us at all times. May we live each day declaring our faith in you as the Lord of our lives. Lead us in this new week in a way that we might worship and praise you as the Holy One that lives within us. We pray all this with thanksgiving in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now for our benediction. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.